Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, November 3rd, 2017. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks. You know what that means? Cliff Schechter will be here to look back on the week that was. And then joining us ostensibly to give us a movie recommendation, but probably to provide us with some amazing Manafort impersonation. Larry Murphy.
I am ready for this.
You may know him as Teddy from Bob's Burgers or Assy from Assy McGee. Also on the program today, Republicans can run, but they can't hide from what their tax plan says about their vision of America. Billionaire shuts down local news sites after they unionize. Carter Page desperately needs a lawyer.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
And Jeff Sessions' lawyer may not be able to help him. Meanwhile, Trump on the lam in Asia is part of his Embarrass America tour. Republican lawmakers continue to announce more retirements and Senate Dems intro a law to slow pharma's revolving door. Don't forget, you all fall back this weekend, but not if Massachusetts and Maine can help it. Bo Bergdahl avoids a prison, gets a dishonorable discharge, all that and more on today's program. At one point, I will be able to remember that it's five-time award-winning, because that's where we're going to be done. That we're ending it there.
Dude.
Not going after six, not going after seven, five and out. That's the way we do it.
I agree.
Well, also because we're not eligible anymore.
But I've been out of the gate on that. Always five. No problem.
What's out of the gate? One championship ring for each finger.
Yeah, what's the problem? Why can't you remember it?
Oh, why can't I remember five? Just because I'm very habitual. And so I said four for a year and a half because they skipped one award ceremony. And so, but we never, let's put it this way. We never lost a Best News and Politics Podcast Award in any year that we were eligible. So take that. Pla de Porkies. Folks, just a reminder. We have a survey now. I know some people only listen on Fridays. Good. Well, I mean, not good, but fine. Sad. But we want to hear from you. Head over to MajoritySurvey.com. Folks, if, let's just say, even 1,000 of you, that's all it would take, 1,000 more at this point, and we would have like a sample size that would make any statistician cry. Because like usually it's just like if you get 0.07% of the population, not even 0.00000, like, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But here's what I'm suggesting. If you are listening to the sound of my voice and you have not taken our survey yet, please go to MajoritySurvey.com. It literally takes only minutes, and you'll be doing us a big solid. So check that out. Meanwhile, obviously, there's a lot of news. And we at the Majority Report are not the only online show that is experiencing the inundation of news. Isn't that right, Matt? In fact, here's a clip from the Alex Jones show, where Owen Schroyer, is this guy, have we confirmed, is this guy the cuck slayer?
I thought he was, and then somebody told me he wasn't.
He got cucked by a child.
It's always very difficult. This is the guy who. Oh, this is the same guy who got faced by that 12-year-old girl or 10-year-old girl. Here he is explaining. Yeah, and we've experienced this dynamic too, where there's so much news that stories that should be a week-long story or a two-week-long story, they disappear very quickly. And he's expressing a similar frustration about a slightly different set of stories.
Wow. Welcome into the Alex Jones Show, folks. It's amazing. Here we are. So much news. And the news is so big. And the news is so frequent. That the biggest news every day becomes a back page story the next day. The Las Vegas massacre cover-up. Nothing. The JFK files being declassified. Hitler still alive. All the history textbooks lied to us. I was lied to my entire life about JFK, knowingly by my government. I was lied to my entire life about Hitler, knowingly by my government. And that's just a non-story now because you've got another radical truck running people down in the streets. Folks,
this Hitler thing, it's amazing how they've buried this, that he's still alive.
How old would he be now?
Cover up on the Vegas thing. It's just boom. Is that a picture of him?
This is the picture that was in the file that was apparently taken in Colombia in 1955, purporting to show Hitler alive in 1955.
Now, here's the thing about Hitler. He was so attached to that mustache that he refused to shave it, even though he was on the lam as probably the most wanted man in all of the world.
For not have a disguise, not shave.
You know, he basically took his cue from that movie Silver Screen, Silver Bullet, whatever it was, with Richard Pryor and gosh, I can't remember his name. The whole key is the louder you are, the less people pay attention to you.
So I'm Hitler here.
Yeah, just going around like, I'm Hitler, look at my mustache. And people are just like, oh, God, there's that dude again. He's pretending he's Hitler. Yeah, so that's the problem. And also, here's my suggestion to the young Owen Schroyer. I would not be sniffing as much of that male beta vitality stuff before going on air because he gives him that post-nasal drip that he has.
It was sad.
It's probably that herbal, they have those herbal sniffing supplements over there. As you know, ladies and gentlemen.
Wrong.
Oh, I should just address this. It's amazing. We only get, I don't think exclusively do we get Casper ads on days when Saul wakes me up, but He woke me up this morning. Well, as you know, we've talked about Casper plenty of times. It's the sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products and creates an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. They have three mattress models. The original Casper, that's the one I have, the Wave, and the Essential. Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. That is key. I am very sensitive to getting too warm when I sleep. And this is the best part. It's delivered right to your door in a small, sort of how do they do that size box. It is pretty cool also when you unwrap the plastic and the thing just sort of expands. They have free shipping and returns in U.S. and Canada. And the best part is you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, at least theoretically, unless you have a child. So you should be comfortable. So here's what happened with Saul this morning. Saul, he sort of screams in the middle of the night. I think it's while he's sleeping. But then in the morning when he wakes up, I don't know if he's afraid of getting out of bed or what, but he just screams. And it's a problem because Mila shares a room with him. And so sometimes I go in and I'm like, let me just lie down here with you, Saul, because his bed is significantly more comfortable than mine. He's the one who's got the Casper in the house. Right. Today was the first time he's ever let me do that. It's usually he demands on going into our bed. Today he let me lie down and I fell asleep immediately. So there could be some problems in our house. He could be getting kicked out of his own room. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/majority and using majority at checkout. That's casper.com/majority. Offer code majority for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's play one more clip of this. Donald Trump is, it is a little problematic. We have the president saying this. I mean, it's hard now to sort of sort out what is the most disturbing part of Donald Trump.
Really?
But this notion of him relentlessly talking about prosecuting Hillary Clinton. Here he is. He's just about to depart from the White House to go to Asia. And instead of talking about, oh, I'm heading to the region where we may have some type of nuclear confrontation, or, remember how many times I said China during the campaign? Now, this is what he's talking about.
I don't know. I'm really not involved with the Justice Department. I'd like to let it run itself. But honestly, they should be looking at the Democrats. They should be looking at Podesta and all of that dishonesty. They should be looking at a lot of things. And a lot of people are disappointed in the Justice Department, including me. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Now, you know, there's some speculation that with the revelations that Jeff Sessions was informed by Carter Page of a trip to Russia, and that Jeff Sessions was sitting in that room with Papadopoulos, that Jeff Sessions, it endangers his job. And I don't know if that's part of it, like Trump showing his disappointment about not going after Clinton as some type of excuse. Some people are speculating like this is the way that they're going to get Sessions out so they can ultimately fire Mueller. That seems, maybe that's a theory, maybe that's a strategy or that they're interested in, but I don't see how that's going to work or be meaningful in any way. But the idea that this is what Trump is talking about. Last thing I say before I leave the country, I want my political opponents investigated. And I'm not going to tell the Justice Department to do it, but I am going to tell them I'm very upset with them. So,
hey, look, I wish the Justice Department could run its fucking self, but you know, you have Podesta and all sorts of other big league unethical things. So they're going to need to focus in a certain sense.
This guy is very, very...
Could be tough stuff.
Yeah.
Could not be. I don't know.
Could be.
No, what about Crooked Hillary? The lesbian said she was crooked. The black lesbian. When black lesbians talk about Crooked Hillary, I think the Justice Department. I think so. Believe me.
Let's just briefly talk about Trump as response to Papadopoulos. I mean, the amazing thing of the indictments, which were only 5 days ago now, was that Mueller was covering two different bases at the same time. One, communicating that, hey, this Russia thing, well, first off, communicating that I'm going where I find crimes. And so I can bring Manafort and Gates in here, and all of the crimes can have to do with financial improprieties, with lobbying improprieties, with not signing up as a foreign, registering as a foreign agent a representative of a foreign agent. All of these things that basically put Donald Trump on notice. Hey, dude, you better hope that you are not involved in things like money laundering or all the other things that you're involved in that are illicit. Simultaneously, he unveils that he has arrested and indicted someone who directly speaks to whether or not there was collusion with Russia. Doesn't prove there was collusion with Russia, but the point being that he has insulated himself from any criticism for just going on a random fishing expedition and also communicated to the president, I'm on a fishing expedition. And so here is Donald Trump responding to about Papadopoulos, but all he's thinking about in the back of his mind is, I wonder if he'll find any number of the many, many times I laundered money.
I don't remember much about that meeting. It was a very unimportant meeting, took place a long time. Don't remember much about it.
I have the best memory. I have the best memory. I just don't remember about that. When he said Russia, when he said he could set up a meeting with Putin, I didn't remember that.
What's the best sort of thing that is, Samuel?
I just remember thinking, I've been in a green room with him.
What's the best type of thing that is, Samantha? Deductive reasoning. Take a guess.
What's the best type of thing?
Selective things. Selective memory, you freaking lesbian. He does have the best memory.
Photographic memory is actually
photographically selective, Rachel.
I have a photographic memory, but not an audio.
No, they say photographic memories are bad for you.
It's selective.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Cliff Schechter about this tax plan and other goings-on this week. We'll be right back. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Casual Friday. And when we are fortunate enough to have a Casual Friday like this, we celebrate it with this song.
Cliff Shack Dive, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Shack Dive, Libertas LLC.
New media, indeed. There were, I think when that song was written, it was new media. Now it's just, you know, they're...
That's right. I'm old media now.
Now we're just...
You know what I mean, I'm probably behind the times at this point.
New media now is like if we were doing this on Instagram, I think, right? Or Snapchat.
In between showing pictures of our food, we could do that?
I don't know. I think a lot of people getting their news on Instagram. And Snapchat. Wow. I don't know if that's the case.
I'm not even on either of those two. Are you on Instagram?
Oh, dude, I got to. I'm stealthily on it because I'm shadowing my kid.
Well, that's smart. That's right. Your kid's old enough to be causing trouble on there.
Oh,
yeah.
I keep having
you know, like kind of like what Twitter and Facebook do, where they're like, "Would you like to invite your 10,000 contacts to all join?" Like, yeah, everybody I've randomly talked to since sort of 1993, that's probably a good idea to invite them all. But there are people who do that. So I get these random invites by people I don't remember who they are. Like, you should join Instagram. And I've held off, Sam, but maybe, you know.
I think you're going to make it through. I think you can, at this point, I think you're past the, I don't
think. Do you think I can do it?
Yeah, I think you can hold out. I think you'll be fine.
I'm trying, man.
All right, well, look, let's get into this tax deal, which dropped on Thursday. Let me go through just some of the high/lowlights here. Corporate tax rates drop 20% to 20% from 35%. For pass-throughs, that drops to 25%. And that's basically, and this is important because the income taxes goes from 7 brackets to 4 brackets. Basically screwing some people on the lower end and helping some people on the higher end. And
that sounds very un-Republican.
Well, and here's the thing. This is sort of the little trick here, too, that they play. When you drop the pass-throughs to 25%, you're essentially a lot of people who would otherwise be in the 35% or the 39.6% bracket will end up paying 25%. On their personal income taxes, because a pass-through basically doesn't give you it is your income, so it's basically a way of escaping a lot of those taxes. It doubles the standard deduction. It eliminates the alternative minimum tax. That's good for wealthy folks. It increases.
Well, the AMT does hit some middle class folks at this point, doesn't it?
Yes, but there's always usually like a little like short-term fix. So, I mean, it's right. By eliminating it totally, it...
You're right.
It helps.
Yeah, you're right. They can do a longer-term fix. Of course, the problem is we're not dealing with people of good faith where that will ever happen. Go ahead, sorry.
Child tax credit gets increased. The estate tax... The exemption goes up doubles. So if you're an individual passing on $11 million or less, there is no estate tax. And we really should call it the wealthy estate tax, right? You get...
Well, it's 5 right now. Right,
right now it's 5, and it's doubled to 11. And
so more than double.
More than double. Well, it's 5.5 right now. And it's doubled to 11, which means that the person... who did not earn that money gets $11 million without any tax implications whatsoever. If a surviving spouse passes on, it's $22 million. And then it's repealed entirely in 6 years. Entirely in 6 years. The mortgage interest deduction, this is actually good, I think. It brings down the limits on deduction.
You can only write it off to $500,000, right?
Yes, and it's only for new loans. But this is the right direction that we should be going in.
Well, it is. I find that, well, I agree with that. I would probably not go that much further in the right direction. Or depending on, I mean, we may disagree on that. Because I think there are people who are trying to buy a home who, you know, have. I mean, we can go further, yes. But people who are buying a first-time home. There are a lot of cities that are not cheap. But I do like this a lot. I'm kind of shocked they did this, right? I mean, these are Republicans. What do you think? You always have to think what the what the real motive is for doing that. And I'm kind of wondering what it is here, because it makes too much sense.
If you look at the 1986 tax reform, what happened was a lot of loopholes and a lot of deductions were closed. And they passed the tax reform. And then in the subsequent year or two, most of those things were reopened. That's basically what it is. I mean, because, like, look, the idea that you could raise this, in a year, that doesn't seem that hard to believe. I mean, that's why I think something like that. And they're talking new mortgages. It's not terribly onerous. Deductions for state and local taxes are eliminated. Deduction for property taxes capped at $10,000. This is sort of like a classic, just every man / woman for themselves. Because if you're a Republican lawmaker in California and New York and Illinois and New Jersey, let's say, where state taxes are higher than they are if you're like you're in Alabama, and you're going to have a really tough time voting for this. And I think it was just like these people got rolled to a certain extent.
Yeah, that's the thing in the end. I mean, look, you've already got like Representative Peter King in New York coming out attacking this thing. Who was the second one? There was another New York Republican who was out there attacking this. I can't think who it is. I was just reading the article a while ago, but that's the thing.
We're going to see. I was just, somebody was just saying it in here. So, I can't remember who it was.
So this hurts a whole number of northeastern states. There's a number of senators, there's people like, I mean, and they have less margin for error in the Senate. And already Susan Collins, it's going to hurt a lot of, a number of her constituents in Maine because of the way they've set this up. So because of the local income taxes and or state income taxes and what they're doing with that. So, I mean, I don't think it can pass in its current form. I mean, that's the, I mean, I guess they could win over. Maybe you always have to be suspicious, especially in a year like this when there's a number of red state Democrats up that one of them may want to look like, hey, I'm a tax cutter and go along with it. I haven't heard yet of any Democrats doing that. But it's not to say a Heitkamp or a Tester or a, what's his name from West Virginia, couldn't do that.
Manchin.
So that's what we mentioned. Thank you. That's what we need to watch. But I think already,
Marco Rubio has come out against this in the Senate too. I mean, I think this is,
so there you go. I mean, right. So is it going to hurt? Well, what's his reasoning? There is no state income tax in Florida. I wonder what it's hurting elderly, maybe.
Well, there is repeals of deductions for medical expenses, which is very problematic and insane.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
elderly folks.
And it's when medical expenses become greater, I believe, than 10% of your income that you are allowed to deduct it. And this is very problematic.
If you start thinking of Midwestern states that are disproportionately older, I mean, the state I'm sitting in, Ohio, you've got Rob Portman, who's going to have to justify that to his base because, a lot of older folks have now become pretty strong Republicans. I think in Toomey in Pennsylvania, I think they're going to get themselves in a lot of trouble on that, on the medical part of it too, the medical deductions. And so add in that and not allowing people to deduct state income tax, whatever, I just think they're going to lose too many people. I don't think this thing has a chance.
That's
as it is right now. That's
right.
Not to say that changes can't be made to get it to where it has. I'm just saying in its current form, don't they also eliminate HSAs?
I don't know about that. Is that, I didn't realize that was,
I've heard, which is that I thought so. Maybe I misread something. And that's always been like the Republicans have a love affair with HSAs. I mean, all that ends up being is another place where, whatever it is right now, 6,500 or 6,650. I mean, it's like another IRA where you can dump some money tax-free. You can actually invest in things in your HSA. And so they found a way to turn it into another investment vehicle. So that would surprise me too. So yeah, this thing isn't going anywhere as it's currently. But again, the Republicans are smart enough. They when it comes to these kinds of things, to start in a place where then they can give in on some things and end up where they want to end up.
Absolutely.
I don't think I'm saying I count out tax, quote unquote, reform yet. I'm just
there is no doubt in my mind that Marco Rubio will be voting for this. And he will, and if it's about that medical deduction, then they'll get that. Let me just tick off a couple other things just to give folks a notion of just sort of in some ways how reprehensible. I mean, from my perspective, the taxes should be more confiscatory. We should be taxing wealthy people more, primarily so that they don't have as much money. I mean, that's basically the reason why we should be doing it. So that's my biggest concern with this. My second biggest concern is stuff like this. You can use your 529s, which are accounts saving money for college tuition. You can use that for private elementary school now, because this is just another way for Betsy DeVos to basically undercut public education. And by making public education mean public dollars going to support private and parochial schools. Now,
right.
This does
aren't
not...
Aren't they also making it available for the fetus, too, in a nice show of anti-choice demagoguery?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's also so you can put that money in for elementary school. But let's be clear here. The people who take advantage of 529s are necessarily people who have the ability at the end of each month or, 6 months or quarter, whenever it is, to save enough money to put it into an account. The thing about a 529 is theoretically you're saving over the course of like 15, 17 years for a correct college education. The idea that people are going to be able to save significant money for private elementary school is just a way for rich people to put their money into brokerage accounts and get the profits for free, essentially. I mean, that's
because that's what 529 accounts are, investment accounts. It's the same sort of thing as like what I was saying with the HSA. So it's a way to tax-free grow your money and then use it on the kids going to private school.
Here is something
very Republican
that's absolutely disgusting to me. Teachers, public teachers, on average, public school teachers spend nearly $1,000 on average of their own money on school supplies.
And so
they
wrong.
Would cut, which is wrong. But to make it worse, they will cut the deduction for that for teachers. They do not get like a business deduction.
I don't think I think wrong doesn't even describe that. That's evil. Is what that is. That is pure. I mean, teachers who are among the most underpaid of those who do public good in our society are already, because they care about kids or they wouldn't be there to begin with, are taking their own money and using it to buy supplies. And now we're also going to say the deduction is, I can't help but laugh because it's so unbelievably evil. I can't even believe anybody with a straight face could sit there and do it. It's incredible to me.
So
incredible.
I mean the and obviously the big prize for them is stuff like the estate tax and this corporate tax drop. And I think, the pass through thing is, long time.
The pass through is a big one.
And this and people should remember the pass through thing was what Kansas was all about. And it destroyed the Kansas budget. I mean, it destroyed their services.
Well, and let me tell you something, that I can tell you from personal experience, because I happen to have a small investment, nothing a sizable, but a small one in some real estate. It's used heavily in real estate investments. So the fact that Donnie would be doing that, folks, is not surprising. I mean, that right there, the whole pass-through thing is meant to be a huge benefit to real estate investors who those are his people. So that's a big part of it, too, not worth forgetting. But I want to say one other thing, too. We always talk about the norms that are destroyed by Trump. And I think I've tried to point out and talk about the ones that McConnell has destroyed in the Senate, but Republicans have destroyed in general. But do you remember there was a point in time way back when where, like, on the, you know, kind of like back where Social Security was considered the third rail and you couldn't go after it. Funny how that changed too. That you couldn't attack teachers. You know what I mean? They were kind of up there with police and firefighters and veterans. You know what I mean? Like, I remember during Chris Christie's first campaign when he, like, bludgeoned,
yes,
you know, verbally bludgeoned a teacher. On, it was a very controversial thing because even other Republicans came out and were like, well, that's a teacher. Are you kidding me? And if you just, every once in a while, you need to stop and take a look at something like to let you know how far we've fallen. Because the election is coming up on Tuesday in New Jersey, thank God, to replace Mr. 15% Chris Christie. He's found a way to become more unpopular than Donald Trump. Very impressive. And this is, you know, this will be in 2017. It was 2009 that Christie was first elected. So we're talking like 8 years ago that we've gone from this place where this was considered, you know, teachers are considered sacrosanct to where we now just are like, you know, we're going to take away that deduction because screw you. And that's where we've gone as a society.
It is really, like, I read that and I was just like, how, like, how much money are we really even talking about in that, you know, savings, because they want to try and make it look like it's deficit neutral for the sake of the Byrd rule in the Senate to do this under reconciliation. So they only need 50 plus one instead of that's not subject to a filibuster. But how do you actually, like, what some human being somewhere had to write, like, those teachers who are spending their own money on helping out the kids because we don't provide enough for public education. Let's not let them take a deduction on that. Like, somebody wrote that.
That's what I mean. Like, and somebody actually had that idea and said it out loud and felt that's kind of my whole point about, like, when culture changes, then you don't notice it, what they've done, because somebody felt comfortable saying that out loud and knew the response wasn't going to be, are you effing kidding me? Like, it wasn't going to be, are you effing kidding me? That's immoral. But it wasn't even going to be, are you effing kidding me? That'll kill us at the polls. It was, yeah, sure. We've attacked teachers enough over the last decade, pointed out, made it seem like it's all their fault. Anything that goes wrong at public schools and the rest that we've now demonized enough, they're no longer a part of that sort of sacred group of public employees. We can get away with it.
I'm just curious on your perspective on how the Democrats are handling this, because I keep seeing Democrats going on there talking about how this is going to blow a hole in the deficit and et cetera, et cetera. And on one hand, I understand, okay, they're, you know, I mean, aside from they may not subscribe to modern monetary theory, but the idea that the deficit is a real problem ends up coming back to bite them in the ass. I shouldn't say necessarily them, but it comes back to bite us in the ass when we need to talk
about it. Bites us all in the ass. Yes. We waste our time on this shit.
And so, like, why are we not hearing things more like, none of this stuff works? We've seen it in Kansas. It doesn't work. It doesn't drive the economy in any way. And the biggest problem we have is income inequality. And all this does is exacerbate it.
Right. It reminds me of, like, during the Obama years, remember? Where I'd come on your show and it'd be like, Obama would give people an analogy, you know, not to be too critical of Mr. Obama because he looks better and better compared to what we have. But still, we point out a lot of mistakes, you know, on this show, and I felt quite comfortable doing it. And you know, when he sat there and said, oh, it's like a family sitting around the dinner table and deciding they've got to, you know, tighten their belts. And we're like, actually, no, it's nothing to do with that. It's the opposite. Because if we do that, the government does that, and public investment in various places in our economy stops, if private investment doesn't make up for it during these times, we have something called a recession. The deficit stuff, the obsession with that is always dumb. To me, that should be pointed out only in that it should be part of the messaging about what hypocrites Republicans are. So you burn into people's memories. So the next time, you know, we're in a situation where Democrats are trying to do something and Republicans are crying about the deficit, you can just be like, here, here's the videotape of all the crap you said. Just shut up. You know what I mean? Like, not even taking it seriously anymore. But that's the only point to me of where the deficit should be a part of the conversation here, is to point out the hypocrisy on the right, and that they don't really believe in this at all. For the next time that they're fainting, you know, over the size of the deficit, if Democrats pass, you know, health care, or get let kids have health care or eat or something. But otherwise, you're right. I've seen it in some places, and I, you know, this bill did just come out. So I'll give a little leeway, but I haven't seen enough of it. I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, it may not have been Chuck Schumer, I feel like, who was pointing out, you know, that it didn't work. He's like, we tried this time, it didn't work. We tried it that time, it didn't work. I think he pointed to Reagan, he pointed to Bush. I think it was Schumer, but if I'm giving the wrong credit to the wrong person, let me know. That needs to be the complete talking points. And you're right, Kansas needs to be in there too, as well as Louisiana, which is another place that completely failed and destroyed them. I mean, there are some Democrats, so I'm staring right now at Bob Casey. I'm not staring directly at Bob Casey, but I'm looking at his, on Twitter, I'm looking at a tweet from him, and it's got a picture of this smiling, wonderful teacher holding up a sign that says, teachers need supplies, and he tweeted out, teachers spend nearly $1,000 a year on supplies under the GOP tax bill, they will no longer get a tax deduction. So he's, you know, he's taking a little bit more of a populist right. tack there and showing. So, I mean, but they need a more, so it's not to say no one's doing this, but there needs to be more organized messaging of that sort, of this, of who this is, you know, again, it's the oldest thing, like we talk about, there needs to be a story, and there needs to be a good guy in the story and a bad guy, and here's how the good guys are going to help you, and here's how the bad guys are going to hurt you. The story is Republicans are always trying to cut taxes for their rich benefactors, for the Mercers, for the Kochs, and people like that. And that's why you can take a look at the pass-through tax cut, give you a couple examples at the tax rate cuts and the rest. And what you're seeing is, who are they hurting? You who's a teacher, who's there because you, not to make money, because you care about your students. They're going to hurt you. You who is whoever. You know what I mean? We need more of that. So no, I haven't seen enough smart, organized messaging yet, but I will say at least I've seen a few people who are doing things like Senator Casey and pointing out how terrible this is. So we need to be better. How's that?
We should, you know, I wanted to talk about some of the announcements on more Republican retirements this week. But we should also note that there are elections that are taking place next week.
We should.
And, you know, New Jersey, I think we're going to see a Democratic governor, which is going to be important.
Yeah, that seems,
because I think Menendez is, I think, going to, the jury goes to, which has been very little.
Menendez is not long for the Senate, it's true. So you kind of get a double whammy there in that we really need a Democratic governor to appoint a Democrat. But also, you know, Chris Christie, the most famous things are his blocking bridges, but people forget about all the cuts. The attacks on pensions. I mean, the terrible way in which he has run the state of New Jersey. So, and which is a big state. It doesn't have a small number of people living in it. So, I mean, important to have, and there's been the legislature is very Democratic now, right? I mean, state house is hugely so. I don't remember if the state Senate, but I think it's Democratic. And so this could be, you know, also, you know, states, laboratories of democracy, states pass good laws. Those are examples for the federal government. The opposite happens too. So that's important. Virginia.
Well, Virginia is going to be the big one, and this is going to implicate, I think, you know, the budget question as well, right? I mean, I think like the inevitably, particularly in this environment, people look at these type of elections, these off-year elections, special elections. This is not a special election, and say this is going to put a specific party on their heels. People need to go out and vote in Virginia. I'm a little bit concerned, because, Northam has been, as far as I can tell, not a very good candidate and has not run a very good, campaign. And it seemed,
I was a bit more of a Perriello fan because I thought he, you know, had more passion and would run a much more active populist campaign. This is from the primary former congressman, Tom Perriello. Northam is now there. he is solid on virtually every issue. There's now this controversy over sanctuary cities. There are no sanctuary cities in Virginia. Do I agree with what Ralph Northam said in that, you know, he would sign a law to ban them if they were passed? I think that was him sort of saying he'd support the law. I'm not making excuses. I think he's wrong about that. But my God, folks, he is right about, I mean, we're talking about birth control for women. We're talking about the environment. We're talking about, I mean, there's so many other issues he is right on. And even if you disagree with his, what he said on immigration, he's, you know, have you seen Gillespie's commercials on immigration?
Yeah, I mean, and
I'll be surprised if they don't have open hunting for people that are, I mean, so, I mean, again, I have to strongly disagree with my friends, and they are my friends at DFA. I've got a number of friends there, but I think what they've done is again.
Well, we should tell people what happened. DFA came out and made an announcement, I guess yesterday, that, you know, it was weird because they never endorsed him.
Right.
They, which is understandable and
yeah,
good for them.
And
they didn't endorse Northam. They had apparently stopped sort of privately, you know, mobilizing their people.
And that's also fair. And I have no problem with them doing any of that, because if you're an organization and you believe in certain principles, you would hear those principles and say, this guy, even on one, if we don't believe he now fulfills those principles, we don't do it. But to attack him and call him racist, which they did, it's so short-sighted. I mean, again, folks, you know, look at what Donald Trump has done.
Well, I just don't understand the timing. I just don't understand the timing. Like, you know, 5 days out, like, I'm not sure what the agenda is. What is the...
Well, it seems to be the maximum harm to him, because that's what it will do 5 days out. And again, you know, if Gillespie comes in and is elected, this is a person who has run his entire campaign on throwing undocumented people out of the country. And not in a nice way, like there is one, and reinstating Confederate statues and putting them back up and this kind of stuff. I mean, this is a guy who's run just about the most racist, bigoted, ridiculous campaign you can run, who will divide Virginia. And also, the third year of whatever, who's elected governor is in office, there's going to be redistricting. And Virginia is one of those half dozen states to dozen major states where they've stolen two or more seats from us that really makes up right now just about the entire difference in Congress.
I would add that if Ed Gillespie wins in Virginia on this anti-immigration, anti-immigrant, racist platform, we're going to...
Get ready for it to come to a town near you.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I just don't understand I don't understand the strategy here. I mean, I understand you want to maintain your core brand identification, but you had already not.
But nobody knew you were supporting him because you hadn't endorsed him.
Exactly. So it's not. It is not that. It is, and you know, there is a quality to this where it's like, I think the immigrant population, frankly, the non-white population in Virginia, they have a lot more to lose than the DFA does in this instance. It's just a very...
Well, I mean, they have a huge amount to lose. And what do women have to lose under a Gillespie regime? Going after abortion rights and going after, you know, passing these ridiculous laws, you know, 20-week law and all this garbage, and going after birth control. And what do all sorts of other groups have to lose? I mean, it just... You know, to me, it's just incredibly short-sighted. I don't get the strategy. I don't get doing it 5 days out. I don't get doing it at all. You don't support the guy just the way there are a number of Democrats running, you know, in 2018 in more conservative states. People like you and me are not hugely supportive. Fine. Don't support them. But trying to undercut the guy right before the election when he's up against somebody who's, I mean, you know, like, this makes what Ed Gillespie has done in Virginia during his campaign makes, like, you know, Willie Horton look like child's play.
Yep.
I mean, he's running an entire campaign saying our culture, we will reinstate our culture. We will put our monuments back. Who do you think he's referring to, folks? Is he talking about you? I mean, it's, man, we just can't seem to get out of our own way sometimes.
Yeah, it's a real shame. Hopefully, I mean, look, And this is not to excuse Northam's candidacy and his campaign, which has been garbage. And I think he's got the same consultants that Ossoff had. And it's,
oh yeah, it's this milquetoast BS. You know, it's like Kerry for president, 2004. It doesn't inspire people. I'm not complimenting his campaign. I'm certainly, what he said on sanctuary cities was stupid and wrong. And, you know, but at the same time,
which also, again, we should also add, not a new policy. I mean, he didn't change his position.
There are no sanctuary cities in Virginia.
He didn't pay.
Right. And they're still.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he didn't change his position on this. He just got to ask
change
more.
Anything.
So I don't know. It's if you're in Virginia, folks, vote
please
on Tuesday. If you know anybody in Virginia and New Jersey,
I will tell you that Herring, I think Ralph is his first name, the attorney general there, who only won last time by something like 1,000 votes or less, like there's a recount, has been probably the most progressive attorney general Virginia has ever had on everything. He's refused to back crappy laws. He stood up for good ones. So, you know, turning out and voting for that entire Democratic ticket, not just Northam, but for Herring as AG, I mean, and an African-American, incredibly talented lieutenant governor, his name is not coming to me because I'm getting old, folks. You know, these are all incredible. You know, it's the whole ticket. And it can help continue the trend of Virginia moving forward. So please turn out and vote for all of these folks. And do the same in New Jersey. Well, you know what? Let me ask you quickly before you kick me off of here. What's going on in that mayor's race there in New York?
Nothing. I think de Blasio is going to win.
Is he up by like 70 points? I'm just asking.
Yeah,
what,
there's no, I mean, there's virtually no.
Like, is anybody within 40 points of him?
What's that? Bo Dietl, I think, is nipping at his heels.
Well, by how far behind?
I think like 70 points.
That's what I wanted to know. I was wondering just how big of a. And I haven't heard anything about the LA.
There's been virtually no news about the campaign. The only thing, and I will say this, the one thing that people are talking about in New York State, and people have asked about this, we might as well just talk about it quickly, is there's a ballot measure to have a constitutional convention in New York. And this is, people have asked me about it, and it is sort of like, I am very, this is a state constitutional convention. What it is that you will elect, I believe it is, like two or three, there's going to be three delegates from each state Senate district. Okay, there are 63 total and 15 statewide in New York State. The elections would happen theoretically, I think, in November of 2018, probably at the 2018 elections. And state senators, I think, can be delegates as well. But they'd have to do double duty. So you'd have to be fairly wealthy and not have to worry about your other job, I guess. And then people would go into the convention, and theoretically, they have like unlimited abilities to propose amendments to the Constitution. Any amendments approved by the delegates would need to be approved by the voters. Which is, you know, obviously important. There's an important check on this.
So, give you some advice.
Yes, please.
You know, you guys. I mean, because I don't get to vote in New York anymore. I'm in Ohio. And if I were you guys, I would just secede.
Well, yes.
You don't need
nice.
The rest of us. We're really just a drag on you. Think of how progressive New York could be if you had to deal with the federal government. And Donald Trump would probably have to move.
Well, yeah, Wall Street would be. Would be pretty important, I think, probably, although who knows. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. I'm concerned that if we as progressives in New York State cannot clearly control both houses of our government, and theoretically we Democrats have won, but you know, there's a breakaway faction.
They keep Yeah. They keep winning, and then people keep breaking away. It's like people moving goalposts. Right.
And we have someone like Andrew Cuomo. I worry that there's no reason to believe that we can get a majority of the people of delegates. You know, we're talking about, you know, and if somebody decides they want to dump a bunch of money, you know, Robert Mercer, who dumped $7 million into Zephyr Teachout's race, decides like, hey, I'm going to dump $30 million into this project. I'm going to get these people elected, because it's not like these delegates are going to go out there and have big budgets to run.
Yeah. The Koch brothers could dump $100 million into it, and it'd be like it barely touched their balance sheet.
Now, granted, anything that comes out of there will be voted upon by voters, but that is tough.
Well, this is worth bringing up. And one last thing, and I promise.
I don't even know what the answer is to this, but go ahead.
Well, you remind me of one other thing that I've forgotten on my list of Ralph Northam reasons to vote for him, because the Republicans right now control the state house. I think they may control the state Senate in Virginia by one vote, or it's tied. It's pretty close. So they could end up controlling that. The Republicans have full control right now of 32 states. You may know that constitutional provision where federally there can be a constitutional convention if they control 34, if 34 states agree to it. Two-thirds, right? That should scare you, because I invite you all to go take a look at what Grover Norquist and some of his friends from the neo-fascist Constitution Party and places like that have written they'd like to do in a constitutional convention. Like, I'm being a bit facetious, but actually not really. The Republicans right now have unified control of 32 states. They win in Virginia, they could have unified control of 33. They are then one state away from, if all these states agree to do it that are controlled by Republicans, calling a constitutional convention. And we're talking about like right to life amendments and like Second Amendment, you know, now requiring everybody to own a machine gun in their home, whether they want to or not. And like global warming being awesome, kind of like Rick Perry said about, you know, about fossil fuels, keeping the lights on so there's less sexual harassment, then maybe become the policy of the land. It's pretty scary shit. So if you need another reason, I thought I'd give that to you.
Right. I mean, the controlling state houses is huge. And I should also say in New Jersey, just, Phil Murphy has sort of a, I guess, finance background. So people are a little bit nervous. But he's running a fairly progressive campaign. He is looking to establish a state-run bank, which is a huge plus in my estimation. Wants to raise the minimum wage, and wants to tighten New Jersey gun laws.
Campaign yep, he's with great. John Bon I mean, Jovi. At least the campaign, he's exactly. John Bon Jovi for Springsteen will probably get a position. The campaign he's running is that I've seen. What I've read a few articles has looked great. Again, you know, finance background. He may be more moderate. I don't know what he'll do once he gets in there. I know that there's a lot of garbage, a lot of crap to clean up from Chris Christie, and that's just talking about what he left on that beach that one day.
Right. Nice.
So you need to get Democrats in there to clean up after Republicans, which pretty much should be our slogan every time we run.
Cliff, always a pleasure, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You're a good man. Thanks for having me on.
All right,
take care, folks.
Bye. All right, folks. I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to the well-known Larry Murphy. We'll be right back. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. We apparently do not have a Jimmy Reefer Cake song for today, but we do have, and we don't have an intro song for this next man, but in many respects, he doesn't need one. And wait a second. Oh, I just looked up your IMDb. I have never seen that headshot. Larry Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, straight from Abington, Massachusetts. You may know him from his role on Assy McGee, as Assy McGee. He, of course, was in Delocated. And he
wait a second. I think you were in Assy McGee, no?
I was. In fact, for a long time, the top of my IMDb page said the douche from Assy McGee.
That is a credit worth having.
It definitely is. But look at you. You're in The Adventures of Drunky. I wonder why that is. Also, Bob's Burgers. You play a multitude of characters. Apparently, Benjamin's gotten you on.
We play a couple on that.
I see that you, oh yeah, you and I do.
Yes.
Maybe if we decide to give people a special treat, we'll do a little.
Oh my God, can we do that now? That's crazy.
Could we do it? You want to do like who?
Sure.
What is the name of your Edith? Right.
Yeah. She'd be a Trumpy, right?
And oh yeah, and I'm Harold, right?
That's right.
Okay, so you do Edith, because it's you drive this one.
Right, exactly, yeah. We'll go like, this country needs to start supporting the president.
What?
I said the country needs to start supporting the president.
That's right. That's basically it. You're also, I understand Benjamin's gotten you on Archer, is that right?
I think I've done a couple of spots. It was nothing big. No reoccurring character or anything on Archer.
You're huge. Look at this.
What's your buddy?
I don't know.
He plays Frank.
I never saw the episode in question.
And you were on the director's cut episode of Home Movies, is that right?
No.
Well, you got attributed for it. All right, so Larry, let's cut to the quick. The real reason why you're here is because you send me texts every day, at every time of the night. And now let me ask you this: here's my one.
It's relentless,
it's call me. He's coming back with fucking Mola.
I don't know if you caught our little Halloween show earlier in the week. I think you would have enjoyed it a little bit.
No, you know what? I might have skipped ahead.
You should check that out.
I missed it. All right, well.
But the one thing I wanted to ask you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Why do sometimes you DM me on Twitter and other times you text me?
That's a good question. Maybe because I'm in Twitter, and it's just as easy to send you a link to
a
tweet.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I send you a link to a tweet, usually when the tweet is not necessarily... I mean, I've sent you as many that aren't mine as are.
That's
right?
True. No, that's true.
Yeah, they're crazy.
It's very schizophrenic, it seems to me.
I guess I could just as easily open another program, but why would I do that? That's my thinking.
All right, so tell me what you got.
And also, it doesn't matter if I send them to you there or, you know, there's no response. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, I'm sending you into a black hole.
I read them all. I just don't have the time to. All right, so Larry, I didn't have the chance to tally up this week's offering, but what has been, I mean, you are very much... you are interested in a wide array of the politics that are going on now in the news and then the intrigue as well. What struck you this week? Like of the every day.
What was the best? Yeah. What was the best? I think the best is Manafort and Papadopoulos' indictments, the guilty plea.
You enjoyed
the guilty plea from Papadopoulos. Oh, I enjoyed the timing on that. I liked how they waited. Waited and that didn't surface until kind of later in the day. And Paul Manafort's arrest came, turning himself in came early. And so you had kind of a little brief moment of Trump feeling pretty good. Like,
That's years ago. It happened before the campaign was even a thing. It's not even a real thing. He was in trouble. I loved how he jumped to the... He didn't even do the feigning or pretending to be surprised or upset. He was just, I mean, what is that all you got? That's it? 9 months, that's it?
I thought there was a lot more.
What's that?
I thought there was a lot more. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Only 12?
Yeah. Wait.
Only 12 indictments?
12 indictments.
12 indictments. Then you're going to drop, if they drop the speeding ticket, then what does he get? House arrest? Fine. Orders liquor out.
But my favorite was your the scene that you sent me about Manafort, and it sort of combined that time. Do we have that oligarch thing where he's like, "That's what, yeah, that's what he said. That's what I said."
Oh yeah, it's I think it gets attributed like he's being evasive. I don't know that he's being evasive. I think he looks like he's been up all night, and then you be the interviewer, and you say, "So what's this about?" In a campaign, she's pretty chipper. So what's this about the?
Oh, what's this about the Russian? The Russian? Is it, you want me to say Russian?
Very chipper.
What? What's this about the Russian stuff?
It's, you know, he said, you know, I had said, just, you know, there's been opposition, that there's nothing there. You know, there's nothing.
Now, it's Russian, and you worked out the scene from The Graduate as if Russia was Mrs. Robinson.
It would be that's his the best version of Manafort is Dustin Hoffman. He talks in low voice. Are you asking me about collusion with Russia? Is that what we're talking about here, Mrs. Robinson? Is that what we're talking about? Manafort is in Marathon Man. He's the scene with Zell.
Oh, it's
is it safe? You just say, is it safe? Is there Russian collusion?
Is it safe?
Oh, it's very safe. So safe you can't believe it. You can't.
I don't know if anybody in the office knows that movie, The Marathon Man.
It's a classic. You know,
Zell! It's Zell! Zell! Oh, I can't even think about that
scene.
Mueller. I hate dental
that's
work.
That's Mueller inside Manafort. There's nothing there. No clue. Ah!
Is it safe?
You can hear his Connecticut accent.
Who's that?
Manafort.
Manafort.
Yeah, you can hear that when you guys were getting real burned out. Right? Fuck it.
I don't know. Is there a Connecticut accent? I don't know. I mean, he tries to speak his blood. It sounds like, I don't know what it is. It sounds like Hoffman to me.
What do you think is going on with Carter Page?
I don't know. You turn a camera on him and he'll go on anything? I mean, if you give the guy his own show.
Do you think he's...
He should be live right on the, like, wherever he gets called, he should have a camera crew with him, and you're going to get like, okay, I'm going to be on.
Honestly, though, like, what do you think is going on with this guy?
I don't know. I don't know what the thinking is. I mean, is that, does he think he's in so deep that he should get as much out of this as he can? I don't really, I don't fully understand what his angle is.
The guy goes in to talk to a Senate Intel Committee for 5.5 hours without a lawyer.
Yeah. I know.
I got this. It's fine.
I got it covered.
It's okay.
He keeps going on.
Well,
MSNBC.
Did you hear our theory this morning?
It was in there for a total of over 6.5 hours.
Well, we developed a theory this morning that what's really going on, and if you remember when you
Super
would read
spy.
About Carter Page, and he didn't speak yet, and you would think, like, this is the part of the campaign. All of these idiots that are out in front of the cameras, like, they're ridiculous. But this guy, Carter Page, he lives in Russia. He works for Morgan Stanley. Like, this is the real operative here, right? And then he came out
a regular guy going on a private trip to Russia.
And then he came out on TV several months ago, and he was just like, it's just been unfair, and it's very overwhelming, and I don't know, email. And what we were saying is that what the real Carter Page put some type of, like, steroid into this poor guy's bloodstream. He's like a random undergraduate. And the real Carter Page is sitting at, like, a DACA somewhere.
like in the Black Sea, and he's just like, "You're gonna take the interview with Hayes." And he goes, "But I don't want to, I think I did. I think I incriminated myself on Hayes last time."
You're gonna say Carter Page?
Yes, the Carter Page we see is not the real Carter Page. He has a serum in his blood that will give him a heart attack if he does not go on Hayes. What do you want me to say on Hayes?
The real Carter Page is sitting on that yacht in the the Baltic. And he's just going like, "I will press the button.
I will
and
press
explode
the button.
Your
heart will explode." Oh, what do you want me to say? Just say that there were like emails and such.
What's the take on Papadopoulos? What's the take on Papadopoulos?
Why are you so hateful to the Greek people?
Yeah, no, Papadopoulos, the Greek, Papadopoulos, Georgie the Greek.
I have no idea. We haven't seen him. Have we seen him talk? Is there any video?
There's one Twitter picture of him, and he's got like this.
There's just the one picture that's the most damning. It would be like if you were on the grassy knoll and they had a good shot of you. There's the one picture of you in a meeting with all these jackasses sitting around you where you're supposed to be the coffee boy, but you're sitting at the table.
I'm smart. I could set up a meeting with Putin's niece, not like everybody says.
Yeah. I know him personally. Believe me. Give me a chance here, guys. Let me get in there. Hey, guys, can I just say, I know that he was talking, Jeff wanted to say something, but can I say something right off? I can set us up a meeting with Putin. I can get, you know what I mean? My dad is Greek.
Push it over just a little bit. We got the picture up. I just want to see Jeff Sessions is one, and it's like...
And Jeff supposedly was like, I don't think we should talk about that at all.
Well, the best is...
He's basically like, let's not talk about that here.
You little goddamn European version of a Puerto Rican, would you shut your mouth before we all go to jail?
Well, Papadopoulos looks like he's sitting up, like he's like very, very conscious. He's the only one who seems to be like highly conscious of his posture as a way of just like, I want to make it sure like nobody realizes I'm sitting here at the table. Or, I mean, it's very, very hard to believe that nobody was conscious of this guy. There's only, you know, 9 other people there besides Trump and Sessions, right? And it just seems like we let just about anybody in on these meetings that are around.
Right, yeah. He's either there to get coffee or he's not. But he's not sitting at that meeting with security clearances. What are we talking about? That's
George, this is not, this That's is pre-campaign, absurd. So I don't know if he has security clearances at this point.
Oh, really?
This is campaign. This is not during.
But he gets them.
I think.
Am I correct?
I'm not sure. He must have. I don't know what happened. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not clear on that. But I mean, supposedly.
Did you happen to see any of the? At first, I thought it was a joke, but it was actually real. Was his resume? His resume floated around the internet.
What is it?
And he had on there that he was. He was in the Model UN. He was the U.S. rep in the Model UN. Or as I like to call it, Lil Spy Masters. The Lil Spy Masters Club, where you develop relationships with other countries and then...
Oh, my God.
Go to a real meeting a few years later,
Only the best people.
That's
true. And apparently Sessions...
Apparently he was impressed by that. Trump knew that. Was impressed by that fact. I heard you were in the
Model UN. He was lying about it, too.
That's a little tiny UN, right? Like a smaller-sized UN?
Wait a second.
Because you're short?
Oh, no, Larry. I'm sorry to do this to you, buddy, but according to The Hill...
Yeah?
He lied about his participation in the Model UN.
Oh, my God. That was... So it wasn't that it's fake, it's that he was lying?
Yes.
He lied about being the rep?
He lied about it. Scroll up a little bit.
Oh, my God. He put it right at the top of his list of credits. That is absolutely crazy. See, the only thing I thought he lied about was basically his contacts with any sort of Russians, and that's what they had him on the hook with. And what he was being charged with, essentially, was basically lying to the FBI.
He said he was a fellow at the Hudson Institute, but officials said he was an unpaid intern and a researcher under contract. pled.
Yeah, you know what? They got to quit that too. Would it, people stop saying that someone doesn't count because they're a volunteer, or what does that limit them? I'm like, just because you're Paul Manafort, same deal. Just because you're unpaid doesn't mean you're unpaid.
Well,
just because you're an intern or a volunteer does not affect.
Well,
you know what I mean?
There's a difference between being a fellow at the Hudson Institute and being an unpaid and being an intern.
Well, was he in fact
a fellow at the Hudson Institute?
No, apparently he claimed he was. I mean, so you know, this is going to.
It's interesting. It was enough. He had enough of a fake resume to impress who? Clovis, who hired him?
I guess.
Is that what it was? And Sessions.
So basically, across all parts of this campaign, there were people trying to do this, including set up these meetings, including people that actually could not set up the meetings. That's awesome.
Yeah, apparently.
That's like, hey, let me get out of the collusion thing too, guys. I was a fellow at Hudson. I bet the Russians
hey,
at Model UN.
Hey, what are you guys doing? Any chance you can try to add me to that noon collusion meeting? Sorry, dude.
Is he thinking any way?
I don't know. Is there any way I can get FaceTime
in the espionage meeting?
Is halfway through, come in and just bring donuts, and then we could. I mean, you could just hang around.
Just sit down. Like I can only imagine, like what happened prior to that photo, where he's just sort of sitting there with coffee, and he just sort of like. Sees an empty seat and just sort of sits in for the photo.
And then Sessions is like, are you from Samoa, boy?
Excuse me. I don't want a photo with an empty seat here. Just get you, sit down. Just make it look like you're listening to me when we take the photo.
Sit down there for a little color commentary.
Do us a favor. Do us a favor there. You know, I said, get your Greek friend to sit down there at the table. I said, go ahead and sit down, Greek.
Jesus.
The Salvadorans of the European continent. We all know what your great grandfathers were doing. That wasn't Putin's niece, if you know what I'm saying.
I guess it's possible that this guy was lying about his saying this stuff.
He's lying about all of it in order to be there? I don't know that checks out, does it?
You know, who knows? I mean, I think like at the end of this, it's going
to
be.
It's a pretty weak hand that impressed enough people that he's in. I mean, I understand that it's just that if you're volunteering or you're not being paid, somehow you can be in the room.
You know,
that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think, you know, from the very beginning, I've always felt.
And also, stop calling him young. How about when Trump was distancing himself? Young Georgie, no one knew him. You know, he's just a young kid. He's 29 years old.
Only 6 months younger than Stephen Miller, who runs our entire government.
Everybody lies to the FBI with
him. You know, I used to wave to him from my porch. Seemed like a good enough guy. I don't know.
Everybody lies to the FBI when they're 28.
I think the story of so much of the... I mean, Stephen Miller is 32. Right? I mean, so it's not like, we only give the keys to the kingdom to people who are over 30 and a half.
Young Georgie, so lost, so mixed up. I feel bad for him.
Like many young boys without a father figure, they get mixed up.
Excellent guy.
But I
Manafort
said that I didn't knowingly... in any way engage with Russian intelligence officials. I have a feeling like so much of this is they just were clueless about everything they were doing. And it's just like Donald Trump surrounds himself and attracts just the sort of lowest end of people that could exist. Like, you know, honestly, you surround.
That sounded like a Trump insult. The lowest end of people
look
that
for
could
the
exist.
He's low track. You know that, Sam.
The least classiest, the people with almost zero integrity, and if
low
they're
IQ.
Smart,
low IQ.
If smart, they really have to have almost no, like the absolute opposite of integrity, because they're trying to take me. They're actually trying to take me for that.
I like tractable is a good quality to have.
I mean, and I would imagine None of them were aware. You know, it's not like Jeff Sessions is some type of evil genius. He's just sort of like
middling at best. That's the whole problem is like they probably feel partly bad about being manipulated to this extent. They're not even good at it.
I think you'll find
good
that
at it on either side. The only people who are good at it are at a higher level where Trump invites, you know, people into the Oval Office who take pictures and video and that sort of thing, and tape him. But at a lower level, no. It's just they throw a bunch of guys at a wall and see who sticks.
I think you'll find
that's what it looks like.
I think you'll find that evil genius is more characteristic of your genetic strain, Gene. Why don't you go do some more jokes with your potato-eating friend? We'll get back to restoring the honor of this country.
Hey, did you see that they're doing that thing where Clovis and Kislyak are played by the same actor?
What's that?
The mustache. I said, did you see that they're doing the thing where Clovis and Kislyak are played by the same actor?
Oh, is this...
They're doing that twins thing.
Oh, I didn't see that.
The only difference is one has a mustache, and he's like, go...
Where do these guys come from? Where did Clovis come from? Did these guys come in through sessions?
Yeah, he looks like a guy who, you know, if you want to listen to him, you know, if you want to listen to what he sounds like, you can find a video of him. He looks like he's at somewhere where he's where the video starts with someone saying, "So your trademark suspenders, huh?" That's my trademark. Yeah, suspenders. Yeah.
You know me from my suspenders.
And you're gonna take over the USDA spot sometime, right? No science background.
But did all this come through Sessions? Like Sessions just was like the guy who had all the sort of losers, and because he was the first senator to come out and support Trump, the ties that bind here.
I have a whole collection of underutilized racists in the House.
I finally have a racist presidential nominee or potential nominee I could support, and I come with a whole crew of people who are just as filthy racist as I am.
See, I belong to a certain secret society.
The same level of intellectual rigor as you have, Mr. President.
These are all really good guys. I said, you're going to really enjoy this crew. This is a good group of guys.
I've known these men for a long time.
What we have here is failure to communicate.
Jesus.
You know what, Jeff? I want to stick Ben at housing. Get it? Housing and urban development. Get it? Black guy.
You're going to like this man. He was a former radio host.
Carson, too, actually. Carson's connected to, Sessions, but also connected to, might be Clovis.
Who is?
Attorney General Sessions.
Ben Carson
like
is
to,
not is connected to one of these two people, either Papadopoulos or Clovis.
Would you want a meeting with Vladimir Putin?
Oh, is that right?
Niece? I know.
Yeah,
her.
One of them's connected. It's not. He's not out of nowhere. It's connected, which makes it a little.
Well,
bit
Clovis had a radio show, right? So
that's right.
I probably had Carson on.
So what is Clovis? Is he a Tea Party guy who got in there?
He worked on Rick Perry's campaign.
Okay.
And
Santorum. Yeah.
No. Perry.
Rick Perry. Okay.
Rick Perry. And apparently he had he was like a blogger who would attack Obama as being a Kenyan socialist.
It's true. Also, does anybody want to meet Vladimir Putin's niece? I know her.
What?
I met her at a conference for Seventh-day Adventist.
But he's an Alabama guy, I think.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that I want to see how I read an angry letter that Franken wrote to Sessions. That definitely they don't threaten him with perjury, but I want to see how that washes out. I want to see if he gets called back in there and says, "Oh yeah, no, now I remember." You know what? You know what I was thinking of? I was thinking of Russian dressing. I guess I'm a little mixed up. I don't know, guys. I don't know.
I'm going to need to think about this real slow because you make the toss.
What they need to do is bring him back in and have a conversation again about has the Alabama fog lifted about his conversation with Kislyak. Let's talk about those again, the meetings that he had with him that he forgot the first time.
Well, they were so meaningless one. That I didn't even.
It's a quick hi and hello. You know what I mean? It's a quick, how you doing? How's your family? Keep walking.
As a rule, I don't listen to Greek people when they're speaking. So
it was a nod and walk like that Jew Larry David.
I've never taken Greek seriously except at one of the local pizzeria to make a heck of a pizza.
Do you remember when he got mad at you? Remember when Kamala Harris?
We didn't want to have any women in a meeting, and so we just had a Greek instead.
Yeah, Greek. Yeah. Remember with Kamala Harris? I love that. We were just like, no. Now you're not going to speed me up. Because then I get scared.
I'm going to slow down.
Yeah.
If I get sped up, I might say, get the fuck out of my Senate chamber.
Go back and watch when Franken really gets under his skin. Because what's crazy is even Franken can't believe that he's upset. He's like, I didn't actually mean to get this guy upset. Oh, boy. He's really, really mad. He hasn't asked him a question.
Yeah.
That's not. I'm not going to take this abuse. No one's abusing you. What is it? What's the matter? I'm going to ask you a question.
Why you ask me all these questions about Russia and...
Speaker, he can't talk to me this way, can he? He hasn't asked you anything yet. What are you doing? I think the time's up for you. Is it time up for him?
I've spent an entire political career trying to subjugate the rights of black people, and you ask me about this? This kind of disrespect, my life's work, and you're not even curious?
Damn it. Guys, I am an attorney general here. I'm an attorney general who couldn't make it. I said who couldn't make it as a judge just a mere 30 years ago. Now I'm an attorney general.
I was trying to slide a rod into the Muslim ban to re-legalize segregation and lynchings, and y'all don't ask me a goddamn thing about nothing but the goddamn Ruskies.
No one asked them anything about that. And then half of the guys who he spoke with that day were like, it was like they got to meet, they got to speak with their, I don't know, like they were talking to Ted Williams, or talking to, they were like, and if you could, instead of asking any question at all, they were basically like, if you could ever co-sign this legislation with me, that would be huge for my career. Is there any possibility that you could do something like that? We talk about it. You're a good kid. You're a good kid. I talk to you all day. Who want to ask me a question now?
Oh, now it's back to the Jew question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Would you ever, could I get your autograph?
Where do you have to be in life?
I'm collecting all the attorney general's autographs.
So, all right, so Larry, give me a sense. What's next? What happens next?
To my mind, I think that everything plays out where between 4 and 6 indictments are planned, and those are metered out. And if you're smart, you don't meter those out so that it's a slow noose on Trump, because you don't want to actually, it doesn't benefit anyone to roll these out, but it'll be a combination, just like Manafort and Papadopoulos are a combination. It's like it'll be another double, and you don't go near his family yet. It's not Kushner yet. It'll be Clovis and Carter Page.
Really?
Something like that. I think so.
Where's Flynn?
Smart.
Where's Flynn in this?
I think he's flipped. They don't need him. If Flynn scares Trump. If Flynn is confirmed as having flipped or been, he's bigger doings to Trump. That's frightening to Trump. That really? Could be the line at which Trump is like, okay, shut it down. No, seriously, shut it down, guys. It's not fair. It's unfair. That's not how any of this works, Donald. Well, but then just make sure that he can't have it. Take away his office space. Do something. Come on, guys. Do something.
That's actually what Bannon had. That's what Bannon had, actually.
Does it work?
No, I don't.
My dad literally gave me.
No, I don't. I don't think you do that next. I think it's a slow draw, because there's nothing to be. There's no reason to basically turn over the table right now. You go slow, and you build this so that it looks like it will appear as if it's rolling out in a way where it's all metered out. Now you don't know who said what by the time you get, you know, 5 people in. He doesn't know. It looks a lot more scary. And if it's ever true that Papadopoulos was wearing a wire, if I were Jeff Sessions, I'd be, Trump can jump up and down and talk about Justice Department doing something, but right now, if you're Jeff Sessions, you would do nothing. He's shown himself to be a guy who is into self-protection. He would not do anything right now. He will wait.
Dude, how much of a dick is John Kelly?
Oh, unbelievable. It's like he wanted people to know he's a dick. It's unbelievable.
People thought that I was the adult in the room, but I just would like to clarify, I'm a fucking racist.
Don't confuse anything. Don't confuse anything. You know where I'm from. You know where I'm from. You know what I'm about. Don't be confused. Whatever she said, she's an empty barrel.
You know,
she's an empty barrel.
Do you remember after maybe it was in 2006? I can't remember, but Larry Wilkerson started coming out, and there was a huge Colin Powell reformation tour. And I can't help, all I see, like John Kelly is so over the top. It's so over the top that I just keep...
How about how stunned he was? I'm like, where do you learn those techniques of being, I was stunned. Stunned. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I just think that, like, what's going to happen is there's going to be some, like, attaché of his, like, you know, who's going to come out and say, John Kelly took one for the team. He pretended to support Donald Trump and everything, and he, none of this. Look at the diary he wrote. That,
say it was both sides in the Civil War. Say it was both sides in the Civil War. Through my pants. It's not gay.
Well,
do it, John. Do it.
You know, I know that I'm just an American citizen, you know, and I shouldn't challenge the likes of a five-star general. Right off the bat, I'm
first of all,
that I shouldn't.
He's not
right
a general.
Now.
He's the chief of staff.
Oh, chief of staff. I'm sorry.
You're not
well,
a general.
No one should challenge a chief of staff. Everyone knows that. But really, look at his career and look at the path that he is on. I don't know that. You know, his military career looks pretty straight and narrow for basically never getting yourself in situations where you might have any contact with minorities. And it seems to me that might have be tied into. You know, the framework of how a John Kelly...
Oh, he does. He ran ICE. He certainly had a
really?
Certain kind of contact with minorities.
So I didn't realize that was in his background. So, yeah, that changes everything.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I was like, no, I would like contact with minorities. I'd like to send home five-year-old rape victims back to their gangs.
Believe me. Turn off the cameras and put me in that place for, like, 5 minutes, dude. Watch what I do. Believe me, when he gets stunned, he's going to be saying that he, you know, banged his head on a car door. Believe me.
I'm the adult in the room. Anyways, can we deport more fucking Guatemalan sex slave victims or something?
Larry, what should people watch? What are you watching? I know you're stuck up in the suburbia.
Show? The President Show, before they take it off the air, I hope it did ratings because it's great.
Yeah, I watched last night. It was funny.
I don't know.
It was
Stranger Things.
What else?
I wax between watching things that are
Stranger Things.
I like Stranger Things. I like that. What else? Mindhunter.
Mindhunter?
Yes.
What is that?
Basically, kind of a mashup of Mad Men and it's the beginnings of behavioral science at the FBI. It's like the guy who ushered in behavioral science to the FBI and said, hey, if we sat down and kind of studied the people that we already have in captivity, we'd kind of glean more from them than if we just kind of left them in jail. And so it was really, at the time, a radical move to say, like, you're going to sit down and talk to these people? And he was like, yep, I'm going to talk to them, tape them, and then use it for, like, kind of scientific study.
There's a lot we could learn from serial killers, dude. We could write up whole profiles and whatnot.
And I should have done that. Watch Mindhunter. It's wicked good. Dude, if you like FBI and you liked Mad Men, you're going to love. No, seriously, dude, just fucking watch like the first three episodes, and you're going to be like, holy fucking shit, they do that at the FBI? That's like fucking Silence of the Lambs shit, bro.
This shit's sick.
Holy shit, this shit is fucking sick. Honey, get in here. Look at this fucking guy. He cut off someone's head.
But now he's just having a civil conversation over stale coffee. 3 months ago, he cut off a fucking broad's head. Now he's talking about it. It's fucking weird, dude. You can't understand their psyche.
Honey, this guy fucking This fucking guy killed fucking 9 nurses, and now he's eating a goddamn fucking sandwich with an FBI agent. Watch this. No, no, no. It looks like it's getting boring again. This thing's getting boring.
So.
No, never mind. No, man. Never mind. Never mind. It's getting boring again.
So Massachusetts this week. Oh my God.
Maybe for now on, Sam, I just give you my rundown on pop culture like that. That's
exactly. Larry Murphy.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
Always a pleasure for me. Take
all right,
care.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Have a good weekend. Later.
Bye bye. Larry's very funny. All right, folks. We're going to head into the fun half. Just a reminder, it is your support that makes this show possible. Become a member today. Join themajorityreport.com. Don't forget, head over to majorityreportkickback.com for our affiliate links. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. What else can I tell you? We'll see you Monday or in just a moment in the fun half, 646-257-3920. Don't forget, you can IM through the app. Bye.
No, 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 no. Things are looking